Welcome to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Julene Judd. Today joining us in the studio is Vilma Sagebin, who was born in Bolivia and raised in Brazil, Marta Bravo, who is from Chile, and Millie Dadson, who is from Ghana. They are here to share their thoughts and insights on the new Relief Society history book, Daughters in My Kingdom. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It's our pleasure, our
privilege. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's begin by discussing how this book has affected each of you, and I'd love it if you would share a little bit about yourselves and your own personal lives, and because you've all come from such varied, different backgrounds, that we'd love to hear a little bit more about your life and this book.
My name is Millie Dadson. My mother was a convert to the church. She joined the church almost 30 years ago when I was a young child. And her testimony is...
It's okay.
Anyway, I grew up side by side with her. She was the only member of my family that joined the church at that time. And she embraced the gospel and immersed herself in it and Relief Society. And reading this book about the Relief Society, about Daughters in the Kingdom, has strengthened my testimony that the Lord knows each of us as individuals, no matter where we're from or what time period we live in, that He knows us and loves us each as a daughter in His kingdom.
Thank you. And can you share something from your native land?
So my native language that I speak in my family is called Fanti. And I could say a word or two, share my testimony.
Please.
Oye menyeje de mitu mefremo honya meneba wadame mirimo. Oye menyeje de mo wadama asoyimo. Nyamini nshira oza mahenye nara mama reshe mude seye wabra pa ibutu miyatani nchenibium. Iyi mamenyeje pi na mekango Jesus Christ nizinmo. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Millie. Mm-hmm. Vilma.
My name is Vilma Sagebin. I was born in Bolivia, and when I was 6 years old, we moved to Brazil. And there is when I became very friend with a young woman who was a member of the church. And this wonderful friend, she was a great example. And because of her example, I noticed something different that I want to join. And when I was 16 years old, I became a member of the church. I serve a mission in south of Brazil. And then I married to a wonderful young man, and we were still in São Paulo Temple. Today we have 6 children and almost 9 grandchildren. We are very blessed. And talking about this Inspire book, it was amazing to read. This book, Daughters in My Kingdom, remind me again of our heritage, you know, our divine identity and the individual worth that each one of the sisters have. I love it because this message contains love, reverence, and respect for each woman. And I think this connects each one of you. Each one of us, you know, it brings, you know, like embraces and fellowships, and we belong. We know that we belong a wonderful circle of love.
Thank you. Why don't you tell us something about those cute grandchildren in your native language?
Eu tenho uma família maravilhosa. Eu tenho 6 filhos. Somos casados há quase 34 anos e... E uma das bênçãos maravilhosas é que nós podemos ver os nossos filhos serem criados no Evangelho. Nossos filhos e noras ensinarem o Evangelho a nossos netinhos. E você pode sentir as bênçãos do legado de fé, coragem e amor.
Beautiful. I couldn't understand the words, but I could sure feel it. Thank you. Marta.
My name is Marta. I'm from Chile. I have lived in Argentina and Brazil, and I love her Portuguese. It's just perfect. She was born in Brazil. I have a lot of accent in Portuguese anyway. And this book has been just wonderful for me. I just love to read it. I guess this is the third time I'm reading it. And sometimes I read something and say, yes, I knew it. And others I say, wow, how come I didn't know that? I have been in the church almost all my life. The missionaries were passing by our house in Chile, almost at 10 at night. And then they felt, you know, the need to come back, and they knock on our door. And so they asked my mother, where is the father of this family? And she said, well, he's not here. And this is like October, and my father had died in April, so she didn't want to tell them there was no men in the house. So they came back many times, and finally, it was precious time. So my mother, my two sisters, and me, we were converted to the church. I was 10 years old. So it's like I have been in the church forever. But I have seen my mother going through that process of, really, she was converted the first day. But she lost all her friends because of the church. You know, Chile is a really Catholic country. So she was alone, but she wasn't alone because she had all the sisters. So for me, this book is like, well, this is what my mother had gone through. And it's just a wonderful book. I just love it.
And the sisterhood that both she and you and I have all gained because of our knowledge from the book.
It's a treasure for me. It's a wonderful book. I love it.
Share something with us, would you?
Este libro me encanta. Es maravilloso. Ojalá que todas las hermanas puedan leerlo. Y es un libro que contiene muchos tesoros. Es para leerlo varias veces y releerlo. Y yo creo que todas nos vamos a sentir unidas y felices con este libro aquí.
Thank you. I realize that English is your second or third language. And I appreciate so much and impressed with your ability to express your feelings and your testimonies and to be here with us today. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me ask you another question. How has Daughters in My Kingdom helped you to each feel closer to Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ, especially when the church in your area may not have been as dominant and you may have struggled to feel connected? Anything specific come to mind?
One thing that stuck out to me is that reading the stories and experiences of sisters from all over, from different times, from Joseph Smith, from the Bible days, New Testament days when the Savior walked the earth, and thinking to now, I realized that we don't necessarily have to fit a certain mold, that we are all unique, but then we are considered alike and equal, and all invited to share in this sisterhood and go forward with doing the Lord's work. So ultimately, that's the message that I get from reading this book.
And you know, you see all these sisters going through all those trials, then really you feel ashamed because you say, mine is nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just losing friends is nothing because they were not really friends. Mm-hmm. If they go away because you change your religion or something like that. And in here you can see the sisters going, enduring all the trials because they were women of covenants. So they went to the temple before they came west. And if we can keep that in mind and be able to keep our covenants, I'm pretty sure we are going to be so close to our Heavenly Father. I think it's the way to do it. And we won't be so sad because there's misunderstanding or things like that. Because it's okay. You know, time will pass. And you can see, I can see in my life the way they talk about the church when I was a little girl. And now it has changed a lot. So it's up to us, you know, to let them know what is our Heavenly Father plan. That is.
And I don't think it really matters where you live, when you connect with the sisters and the spirit of this book, it automatically gives you a sense of belonging and identity, and there's strength and power that comes from that.
And connection.
Connection.
Yes. It was very interesting because, you know, the friend who brought me to church, we were teenagers. We were 16 years old, but she was an example of missionary work because she was, you know, she was always kind, modest. We knew that she was different. And one of the things that it was very interesting is from the whole friends that we have, from everybody, let me rephrase this again. I think that was very interesting because in the school, we were the only two members of the church. And sometimes, of course, it is not the same challenges that we see and we read in the book. But each one of a convert and the church have their own trials and challenges. And these bring us together because we understand what's going on. We understand when you are the only member in your family and you have this wonderful spiritual experience in the church and you want to bring home and share with your family and share with your friends. And sometimes they don't understand. And I don't know what is in your countries, but in mine, when I became a member, sometimes the youth didn't have money to take a bus. So we walk long distances. And we became like, you know, it was a nice and fun journey because it was with your friends who were righteous and wonderful people. So I feel like this book connects each one of us, you know, and this path of conversion.
I love that. Thank you. Millie?
Well, I remember riding several buses to get to church, you know, change bus and get in a cab and then walk a long distance to get to a makeshift chapel, something, somebody's house or just like a building somewhere that had a few benches in there. And we had church activities and church services there. And living in a big city with a few members of the church where we didn't have ward units that were, you know, set by neighborhoods, but pretty much the whole city. Mm-hmm. So if you had to go visiting teaching, you were going across town. Or if you had to go to Relief Society evening meeting, you had to go across town. And that was kind of the experience. And when my mother initially joined the church, she was called to be Relief Society president. She didn't even know what the Relief Society was. But she accepted it because, you know, the gospel was just the sweetest thing that she had ever experienced. And so she immersed herself and went out and helped sisters in any way that she could. And in doing that, she was able to get past the challenges that just making the decisions to join the church had brought to her. For example, her marriage fell apart because of that, whereas some lose friends. She literally lost her marriage. And she was a single mother and striving to live the gospel. And so that strengthened. That was a great example for me to learn to be solid and grounded, even in the face of adversity.
What a wonderful woman of faith. And these stories are such a wonderful reminder to me, and especially now living on the Wasatch Front and with a life of ease and a church on every corner, I think reading this book reminds me that it wasn't always easy. And for those sisters who were faithful, like your mother, who were faithful and constant even when it was difficult. And it's a wonderful prick to my heart and a reminder because our lives are so easy. So thank you for sharing that. We've been taught that each of us have great value, divine potential, and that the Lord's work requires each and every one of us in order to be successful. So how can Daughters in My Kingdom help sisters around the world to know of the Lord's need for them in this great work? What comes to mind?
I think I read in this book that Sister Beck said, "We study our history to learn who we are." And for me, when we read this book, you know, it really comes to your heart a testimony from the Spirit that you are a precious daughter of our Heavenly Father, and you have a responsibility to strengthen your family to teach your children about the gospel. And this is wonderful, because as the women know who they really are, they become one wonderful power for goodness. And then they arise and shine forth.
I love that. Thank you.
And I love what the book says, that we are, page 25, I even have markers here. It says, we have given the errands of angels. And I think that is so important, because each one of us, it says we must cherish one another, watch over one another, comfort one another, and get instruction. And we may all sit down someday together in heaven. So every one of us, even if we are alone or single, married, doesn't matter. But we have given these errands of angels, so we have to live up to that. And we have to be able to forget about our pain or situation we are living, and then, you know, go forth and help others spiritually and help them to be better people, you know, and to be happy as we are.
I love the title of the last chapter in the book, Live Up to Your Privilege.
Yes.
As we turn and look back and learn from those who have come before us, that empowers us and makes us stronger to then turn and face the future and what our role is in His kingdom.
And every one of us is so important.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. In some African cultures, not much value is placed on the woman. For example, education is always handed to the male child, whereas the girl child is expected to stay home and help with menial job or housekeeping. Having the church and having Relief Society helps us to realize our potential, helps us to know that we have so much more to offer, that we have so much to give, and that others can gain from us. In my mom's experience, she says she could read and write. She had a basic education, but when she got to the point where she could search the scriptures and use the footnotes to search the scriptures and gain a deep understanding and broaden her horizon and her perspective on things, that to her was what helped her to get a sense of her value and her worth as a woman. And the Relief Society brought that to her.
I love that. And I love that this book was a gift to each and every sister in the world. And whether they can read really well or haven't been given that opportunity because of culture or other circumstances, that the beautiful appendages and all of the pictures that support the messages of each chapter, I think the Spirit has really directed that this book was created in such a way to touch and reach as many sisters as possible, to help them feel that they're valued. Let me ask you another question. When challenges arise in your area, especially with growing pains that come as the church continues to develop in the countries that you're from, how can Daughters in My Kingdom give you strength and guidance? Vilma, I thought specifically of the story that I heard you share about when your husband was called as branch president, and how could you share that about your experiences in that, in serving in that capacity?
Yeah, this experience is, it's very, what can I say? It's a treasure in my heart. And I remember that we got married, and he was young, and he was called to be a branch president an hour and a half by bus from our home. And that time I have 1-year-old daughter, and I was pregnant almost 9 months with my son. And so we were excited. So we went every Saturday. We went, took the bus, walked to the chapel, and we have the activities there. We have the youth, and we have meetings and enjoy the presence of each other. And then on Sunday, we have all-day meetings. But I remember of that time not as a sacrifice. It was difficult because sometimes we need to sleep in the chapel. But I think it was a friendship that we develop was so strong. I remember that time when the youth was all together connected, Relief Society together. I remember that the sisters used to cook, make lunches, and some sister, I can smell, sister, one of Sister Maria Sonius, And everybody developed such a love, such a connection, that until today, we have this friendship, and the word blossom because of that.
And how do you think this book could have helped you if you would have had it then, or if you were to go back now? How could this book help you in a place where the church is new and developing?
Oh, we see so many stories of conversion, dedication, and sacrifice in the book that, of course, you feel like, I'm not the only one. Look at the sisters. Look what they are doing. Look at their devotion, their sacrifice. And like, you know, Martha said, sometimes we feel, this is not really a sacrifice compared to what the sisters went through. And this way, we feel like, oh, I want to see this sister. I want to talk to her. Isn't she amazing? Mm-hmm. You feel like, you know, you are part of something bigger.
Thank you.
I think we definitely learn from each other's experiences. And just seeing the contrast when you've come from not being a member of the church into the church and seeing how loving people are, how kind they are, and it starts to reflect in your own character because it rubs off on you and you start to emulate those attributes. And so as I read about the stories of sisters here, I can kind of see myself in their stories, and then I can see the things about them that I don't have and try to cultivate those for myself as well.
This gives us a heritage. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really made that connection before. I love that this gives us a lineage, mm-hmm, and a heritage, mm-hmm, and models, mm-hmm, to follow, mm-hmm, if we don't have those examples if we haven't had them in our own life. I love that.
Mm. You know, I love the snow. Because in Chile, we don't have snow in the cities. We have just snow in the mountains. But every time it starts snowing here, I think about these sisters coming with their little kids, having their babies in the snow and all that. And I just feel, how come they could do that? You know, it was such an awful time in their lives. But on the other hand, it wasn't awful because they knew what we're heading to. And they knew there was a revelation given to them, and they have gone to the temple before. So when I just see a snow, I think, well, anything I have done is just little one. I feel ashamed. I say, oh no, I cannot complain, because really, what they have done, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have the, mm-hmm, you know, the gospel in our lives, because the church will have died there. So because of their sacrifice, we are here today. So that is my feeling about these wonderful sisters.
I love that. Thank you. You are listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Vilma Sagebin from Brazil, Marta Bravo from Chile, and Millie Dadson from Ghana join us in the studio today to share an international perspective on how we can use the new Relief Society history book, Daughters in My Kingdom. Would each of you please share a specific example of a woman of strength from the book, someone that strengthened you personally?
Well, that sister Cipro that is, you know, in the book, she was from Holland in the time of the war, and she was in the district, and she was visiting her branches, even at night. For me, I have been in a country where we have, you know, situation that you cannot go out at night because the military has taken over the country. And so to give them some order, you just can't go out until 7 or 8. So I really related to her, and I thought, how could she do that? It wasn't like, oh, okay, I'm going out at night. It was, maybe I will be killed. But she was so worried about the sisters. She wasn't worried about herself. So for me, I really related that to those years that we live by that.
Faith. What faith?
Yeah, what a woman of faith. And not only her, there are so many other examples like her in that, you know, and when they give food and clothing to people, they didn't wear their, like, enemies, but they didn't look at them like enemies. They just helped them. So that is the type of women I would like to be.
Charity,
yeah.
Never faileth.
I love Sister Emma Smith. I mean, she was an example of strength and grace and just empathy and kindness for helping relieve other people, you know, providing relief for other people despite her own challenges as a prophet's wife and as a mother of little children. In the book on page 12, I like what she says, that I desire the Spirit of God to know and understand myself, that I might be able to overcome whatever of tradition or nature that would not tend to my exaltation in the eternal worlds. I desire a fruitful, active mind that I may be able to comprehend the designs of God when revealed through his servants without doubting. She basically prayed that she could look beyond herself and receive personal revelation and receive counsel from her husband, the prophet, as well as other leaders of the church. And to me, that is how we come to know Christ, is by, you know, letting go of our own challenges. And this is how Relief Society helps us grow, as we're involved in visiting, teaching, and reaching out to others. We essentially get away from our own concerns, seek inspiration, and feel the Lord speaking to us so that we can effectively help our sisters.
Would you mind building on that and sharing a little bit about visiting teaching in Ghana?
When I came out of the Young Women Program into Relief Society, I was assigned an older sister in the ward. I was assigned to go with her visiting teaching, and we would go long distances. But I always remember how we would ride the bus, and then when we got close to the sister's house we were going to go visit, we would stop and say a prayer together, and then we would go in and share the message and then help in any way needed. And I learned so much from that Older Relief Society sister. Her name was Sister France. She has passed on, but I learned so much from her. I learned it doesn't matter how far away it is that we go, we make the commitment to go and help in any way possible. And it wasn't about getting the check mark to say that I've done my visiting teaching, but she generally had empathy, and I learned to have that kind of, you
ministering.
Know,
you were ministering to, as the Savior
to
would.
To these sisters.
And I love that you were willing and obedient to go with someone that maybe you didn't think you had that much in common from. And look at all that you probably learned from her, but then that you also gave to her.
Yeah.
Just the power and sisterhood that you must have felt.
And just realize that it's our calling, and we magnify it.
I think it was very difficult for me to pick up only one sister, because they are all great examples of courage, on testimony, charity. I will talk about Sister Mary Fielding Smith, and a great example as a strong, loving mother. Her son said that he remembers that she always said, "The Lord will open the way, but how he would open the way, nobody knows." Nobody knew. And he said, "I remember," in the page 151, he said, "I remember coming upon her in secret prayer to God to enable her to accomplish her mission." He learned so many things from her, and he said, "Do you think I can forget the example of my mother? No. Her faith and example will ever be bright in my memory. For him," he said, "my mother was a saint. She was a woman of God, pure and faithful, and that she would suffer death rather than betray the trust committed to her. That she would suffer poverty and distress in the wilderness and try to hold her family together rather than remain in Babylon." And this woman is really touched my heart, because I have a great example in my family. You know, when I see my husband talking about his mother, you know, and knowing my mother-in-law, she was a great mentor in my life. She was converted to the church, and struggle to go every Saturday and Sunday because she has three younger children. The oldest daughter was only 9 years old. The second one was 8 years old, and my husband was only 4 years old. And when she was converted, her husband opposed to the church, and sometimes they need to walk every Saturday and every Sunday to church. And she never complained. They used to sing hymns. And it was wonderful that she was so strong in the church and her callings that it raised our really righteous children. And every time that my husband remembers, she remembers his mother as being so strong and so giving and kind and serving in the church that is a root for many descendants. Right now we have more than 23 descendants of this powerful woman, and we have 6 missionaries coming from this faithful woman.
Wonderful. That makes me think again of your mother. Mm-hmm. And is there anything more
I love
like
when
to
you
share?
Say when you talk about singing hymns while you walk to church. I remember several times doing just that. She was so full of cheer, always so cheerful, always so happy. It was the most wonderful thing that happened to her to receive those gospels. She says she became a more friendly person. She became a more loving person. I have friends today that sometimes I haven't heard from in a while, and then they somehow find my phone number and they call me and they say, "How's your mother?"
Yeah, that's so true.
Because they are so connected to her. And eventually she was able to bring her 2 brothers, 1 sister, and her mother into the church. And now, with my family and grandchildren and hearing her stories, I think will help them to gain a testimony of the gospel, because her challenges are very different from their challenges today. And sometimes when all you've known all your life is the gospel, you kind of take it for granted.
We do.
So her stories I share with my little ones so they can know where we've come from. You know,
good,
and that the Lord has a plan. It's not by chance. It's not by chance. It was all part of a plan.
Absolutely.
Well, and what I love that you shared about both of these dear women is that I'm sure that they had no idea or any grand plans that that would be their influence. They were just obedient, good women who just got up every day and tried to do what the Spirit told them to do. And look at that power that comes from that. Thank you for sharing that. This has been such an honor and a privilege to be together. And as a final thought, would each of you please share your testimony of the book and how it feels to have access to church materials like this book in your own languages and the blessing that it's been to your family, or any other final thoughts that you would like to add?
You know, I will say, I am not sure if I'm right, but I will say this is the only book other than the scriptures and the manuals that we have in all these languages. And like for us, and especially for people that don't speak or understand English, it's so precious because you only have the scriptures and manuals, and that's it. So you never have the possibility to know more about, you know, the first years of the church and all these wonderful women that are in this book. So I understand the great value of the book, the great effort that the church has done to, other than this is a beautiful book.
And it
I have
beautiful,
this
it?
Memory like photographic, so when I see the pictures, I remember the chapter. So many times you don't buy books because they are too expensive. And this is a gift. And it's in our own language. What else can we ask for? So I think I have, as I said, I have read it many times, but all the lives that are in here, they just give me more desire to be better and to do my work in a better way, because I think many times you just kind of, okay, I can do it because everyone else did it and in difficult situations. Everyone that reads this book, I will say, will increase their testimony.
Thank you, Marta.
The book is really easy to read, so enjoyable. And I love how it unifies us, that even Pioneer sisters, who I wouldn't necessarily say are in my bloodline, I still consider to be my heritage. It just gives me more confidence in the organization of Relief Society, because not only do we go out and reach out as sisters, but we are also on the receiving end of service because of Relief Society. Hearing the stories has taught me more about humility, because sometimes we think we just want to give and give and give and feel like asking for help or receiving help is just hard for us to do. But this has reinforced for me to know that the Relief Society is there for me as well. And I've been blessed by it. I've even quite recently felt the strength of Relief Society as sisters in my ward. In my own ward, my Relief Society leadership have reached out to me when I really need it, just reminding me of the Savior's love for me as a sister, as a woman, helping me to recommit myself and refocus on the things that I need to be doing for His other children who need me.
Thank you. As I read this book, it is an inspiring book. Because this is a story not only the early pioneers, but the modern pioneers. And I love because each one of us can be connected. Doesn't matter if you're young or older. Doesn't matter if you have children or not, if you're married or single. Everybody can be part of this. And I think this is the beauty of this book. It's a treasure. It is a treasure because it talks about generations of noble, charitable, faithful, holy women in around the world. And it's, I think one of the things that really touches my heart is because the young woman talks a lot into my heart, and we prepare the young woman to be worthy to make covenants and receive the blessings of the temple. And these preparations takes over to Relief Society. These young women can read this book and feel the Spirit and say, I'm going to this organization. I am part of something bigger and wonderful. And I love the words of Sister Elaine Jack. She said, we are part of a grand whole. We need each other to make our sisterhood complete. When we reach out to clasp the hands of our sisters, we reach to every continent, for we are of every nation. I had my testimony increase when I read this book, because it really brings to my memory of who we really are. And we can hold hands and say we belong to this great organization that connects earth to heavens.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us today. You've been listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more information on this program, visit our website at mormonchannel.org. To share your thoughts and questions regarding this new book, visit daughtersinmykingdom.lds.org. Thanks for listening.